Hi, everyone. We're glad you're back with us today. And as you can see, we're on page 42 now of the Nature article. And we're hitting the very end of December with this.
Well, let's start on 41 first, then we'll
sure.
go to 42.
Great.
That's good, but you know, 41 and 42, that's our target for today,
that's
isn't
right.
it?
That's right.
And where are we going to go today?
We're going to Antarctica, where the penguins are, not the polar bears.
That's right. Hey, you got that from yesterday's
yes.
lesson, didn't we? And we learned some very interesting things, and most of you think, that's not on my list. But you know, when you read this article, you might say, well, it might be fun. And you would find when you got there, like these people did, first they wondered why they were there, but then after they saw this, they thought, now I know why. So maybe
exactly.
when you'd come back, you'd be excited about it. Do you think so?
I think so. There's a great saying that my teacher said once, which is, life starts at the end of your boundaries.
Right.
Wow.
So,
that's
yeah.
great.
Yeah, we don't want to just always just go to
what
places like Paris
with.
And Rome.
Yeah.
That's nice, you know.
Mm-hmm.
But sometimes you want to go to Antarctica or Arctica, right?
And I'm going to tell people something from living way, way up in northern Canada, almost in the Arctic. You will get really good food on this vacation. They
well,
will serve you quantities of food because it is cold weather. And you
I know you're
burn
trying to entice,
your calories.
Listen, you're trying to entice the Chinese to
I
go because
am.
You know the Chinese want to go where there's good food.
And you
food.
Know what? I can tell you this will be good food and lots of it.
Well, I think it would be interesting just to see the penguins on the ice and get the feel of being at the end of the world, kind of like a very different experience. Don't you think so?
I feel like there's not that many places left on Earth where there's not that many humans or
that's true.
Left untouched.
Right. Pristine.
Yes.
Right. So it's good to go there and you might feel as powerful. There's something about nature. When you get out in nature and you see what the world is like, it's powerful. So, let's go on from where we left off. Like you said, Lois, we did finish almost the 41, but let's
That's
take
right.
the last half of page 41 today, and we're going to read now about the Antarctica's ecosystem. What is an ecosystem? Does anybody know?
Well, the ecosystem here was going to tell us what's taken care of here, the mammals or the animals or the sea life.
Mm-hmm. How the nature really works together, right?
Right.
So let's read that now. Let's take the rest of page 41, finish that page now.
Antarctica's ecosystem. Deposited on land, Lisa Kelly, the expedition leader, and her staff of 14 naturalists introduced us to the ubiquitous penguins and taught us how to differentiate among the species. Seals, too, are an important part of this animal ecosystem. We saw the fearsome leopard seal, Weddell seals, and the slender crab-eater seals. Countless species of seabirds wheeled and turned overhead, their cries punctuating the chilly summer air. And then there were the whales, the distinctive humpback, weighing as much as 79,000 pounds. The mink, which can reach speeds of 24 miles per hour. The even speedier sea, which motor up to 30 miles per hour. The sleek fin, which can be as long as 70 feet. And the feared orca. They breached and sang and showed their flukes and left us amused at their antics and amazed at their majesty.
Well, this is going to tell us a little bit more what it's like. Now, here's a picture of the leader here, Lisa Kelly. You can't tell what she looks like because she's got all those clothes on, but it's pretty cold there.
Mm-hmm.
Yes.
Yeah, it says deposited on land. How can we be deposited? Deposited like you put money in the bank and you make a deposit.
I don't know. It sounds to me deposited on land. It sounds like we just
somebody
throw
picked
overboard.
You up and
like
well,
a cat.
You,
hope you land.
You got out your little kayak. Okay,
yes.
Now here I am. I am. Somebody picked me up and put me here. I'm deposited on this land, right? But she's the expedition leader, and she has a big staff with her. Who's with her?
It says 14 naturalists. And naturalist is a person who studies plants and animals and their environment.
So they're looking at this opportunity to go down there. The tourists are there, but the naturalists are there to study, too. And they have these ubiquitous penguins. This word ubiquitous, we studied it off and on for all through the years, but people forget it. It's a big word, and that's why it's everywhere. The word means every place, doesn't it?
Everywhere, all over.
Wherever you go. Let's say it together.
Ubiquitous.
Ubiquitous.
Oh, yeah. Boy, that's right. And, you know, studio classroom students are ubiquitous. Every place I go, they say, I study studio classroom.
That's great.
So you got to be all over. But these penguins, they're all over in the Arctic, and they taught us in the Antarctic, they taught us how to differentiate, means to know the difference between. Now there's many kinds of penguins, king penguins, oh, so many kinds, and they have different, we call them, looks like outfits, like the picture here. There's one kind of penguin, they look like they're dressed up to go to the opera, don't they?
Yes, they're little tuxedos.
Little tuxedos, they're so cute the way they waddle around. And a lot of movies have been made with penguins, so they've been made very popular. Some companies use penguin name.
They do.
Very popular. But there's different kinds of species. They're all penguins, but different kinds. Just like many kinds of dogs and cats, too, right?
Exactly.
Yeah. Have you seen any penguins? I've seen them in the zoo.
I've just seen them in the zoo. I don't think I've seen them anywhere else we've been.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But they're really interesting.
No, I stand corrected.
Oh?
Did you see one?
I saw one, and it wasn't in a zoo in Australia, but somebody must have, like, had it as a mascot or something, because it was just crazy.
Well, that is crazy.
That's crazy.
Yeah. You don't usually see them. Well, anyway, they also have seals. Now, seals, we have seals all over. We have a lot of seals in Seattle. They come up on the docks, and they eat the fish, and they go around. You know, seals are all over the place. Seals are in Alaska. You got seals in Canada.
Sure do. There's lots of seals near both Nanaimo and Victoria, the city of Victoria, and they're awfully friendly. They don't seem scared.
No, and there's Seal Rock in San Francisco. People go and have lunch and they look at the seals.
Yeah.
But they're different than these seals. Now, these seals are called the leopard seals, and they don't look like the Seattle seals at all. What are these leopard seals like? They're predatory.
Yes, I'm not really familiar with the leopard seal.
They're scary.
Yes, I am. This one with the picture at the bottom of page 41. I have seen a few of them on National Geographic specials.
Mm-hmm.
They are scary.
They are scary.
Oh, they're very scary.
But, you know, if you're in your little Zodiac, you're okay. Be careful if you're in the kayak. It's kind of small. But the seals usually are very, very friendly. They swim around and, you know.
Oh, yeah, in California, Southern California, where I'm
from. Lots of seals, right.
They just lay out in the sun. They're basking. They're having a good time. They sing to you.
Mm-hmm.
Whereas this leopard seal, I mean, just in the name itself. Leopard.
Look at the teeth.
I know.
Look at those teeth.
Differentiate all the different kinds of seals, too, as well as penguins.
Mm-hmm.
But these are very fearsome. And then they have the Weddell seals and then the slender crab eater seals. Wow, I didn't know there were so many kinds of seals.
Exactly. And you see, when they give you a little clue there, listeners, when they say a slender crab eater seal, that means that seal has incredible teeth. Very sharp and very strong, because it has to break through a crab shell.
A live one, they got to kill them.
That's right.
That's scary. I kind of like the other seals that eat the fish. But what else can you see there? Does it say in line 9?
There's countless species of seabirds that fly overhead, and they cry, they sing to you, and it punctuates the chilly summer air.
You know, seabirds are so beautiful. Even when you go up to places like Norway and Finland and all those areas, they have so many beautiful, beautiful seabirds. And Australia has beautiful birds.
I've experienced some really nice seabirds in Oregon on the coast.
Mm-hmm.
Beautiful ones.
Right. There's so many beautiful birds. I wonder how many species of birds there are. It's hard to count. But these seabirds, they're kind of big and beautiful, and they were crying, and not crying, but calling out to each other and signaling, and that would be kind of fun. So it's not boring up there.
Right. You know, and I think the writing isn't boring either, Doris, when the author says they're punctuating the chilly summer air. Here they're meaning punctuate, to happen or cause something to happen repeatedly while something else is happening, to interrupt something repeatedly.
Well, you know, you hear birds going on, and this is the summer air. Now, their summer is our winter up
That's
in the north,
correct,
right?
Because they're the southern hemisphere.
So it's their summer there now.
Yes, it is their summer there now.
So if you want to hear the birds, good time to go, okay? Better hurry up because it's almost New Year's, right? Well, then what else did they have there besides all the birds and the funny animals? What else did they have?
I like how we move from little mammals to big mammals, the biggest one on Earth, the whales.
Wow. The distinctive humpback whale.
Yes, and they weigh as
much
as 79,000 pounds.
I can't
even comprehend
I
that.
I don't know how big that is or how heavy that is.
How could they ever weigh one?
I don't know. They must have a big scale.
Right, I don't know that. And then the mink, which can reach speeds up to 24 miles per hour. Now, that is fast for a seal.
Well, and that's fast in the water. That whale is going at some speed.
I wonder how fast the leopards run. They're pretty fast, too. Boy, some animals are really fast.
I think it's much easier on land than it is in water.
Yeah, well, that's
exactly
right. And then there's this other speedier kind here that they can go up to 30 miles per hour. And then the sleek fin, oh my goodness, they are differentiating to us. They're telling us all the different kinds. So you say, I saw a seal. What kind? I saw a whale. What kind?
Mm-hmm.
I saw a dog. What kind?
I saw this sleek fin, which can be as long as 70 feet. That's incredible, 70 feet.
So even though this place is vast and really harsh, there's a variety, a bunch of different life there.
That's true, yeah. And then the feared orca. I don't see why the orcas are... The orcas are beautiful. They have those around in the...
Well, you see a lot of orcas on the northeast of North America.
Northwest, too.
And the northwest. And the thing that's interesting here is orcas are also called killer whales, but I've always been told they're actually misnamed.
Yes, they are. They're not killer whales at all.
No. I think maybe in this article they're known as feared because orcas actually hunt sharks.
Wow. Yeah,
so maybe
orcas,
other sea life would fear the orcas.
Fear
but
them.
I have rarely heard of any case of orcas attacking humans.
I've never heard of it because I know once when my dad was swimming in Puget Sound and this big orca came up right up and it didn't touch him at all.
Mm-hmm.
And he was kind of scared, but because they're so big.
They are so
But they don't
big.
Seem to attack humans.
Mm-hmm. Maybe just sharks.
Anyway, you won't be swimming there. It's too cold. Well, and then what did these whales do? Something that whales often do. They breached. What does it mean when a whale breaches?
To forcibly break through something, especially when a whale breaks through the water.
Yeah, they squirt water up in the air like a
spider.
And
then they breach up. They go way up in the sky.
And they sang, and they slowed their... And they were just watching them like putting on a show.
It's like they're dancing for us on top of the water.
Their antics.
Mm-hmm.
And they were amazed at their majesticness. They were so beautiful. That would be fun.
Yes. Yes, they're just incredible to watch. I think everybody once in their life should do a whale tour. Just make sure it's a reputable company that doesn't go chasing after them.
Right. Scare them.
And scare them and harass them. You're right, Albert. But it really is a highlight to anybody's trip where there's a nice big ocean there to really observe the whales.
That's right.
We're
so used to seeing other animals like cats and dogs and something. But to go and see all these beautiful sea animals and animals that you see there be something that would be really interesting. So every day you'd get off this little boat and you'd go to on shore someplace, some little inlet, and see something else. You don't just sit there and look at the ice.
Yeah. Just it's really important, as Lisa Kelly would tell you this, you need to listen to your guides or your naturalists.
And also
they're
be
the
quiet
experts.
And listen to the whales and listen to the birds and just get the feel of the place. Mm-hmm.
Hopefully you're off of your cell phones.
No, well, I don't think your cell phone probably worked there anyway. But let's go to the next page and see what we can find out now on page 42 as we finish reading this part of the article.
We were awakened about 3 one morning by Kelly's voice alerting us to pods of orcas swimming alongside the ship. From the deck, we could see them turning over on their backs, playing and flirting with us. An unspoiled land of wonder. Our jaws dropped when we saw the natural wonders of this vast land. Fields of icebergs, along with calving glaciers that cracked like a rifle shot as they sent ice crashing into the water. It is odd to think of the 5.5 million square miles of this continent as a desert, but it is. It receives little precipitation, but when it does snow, it stays put. As a result, more than 99% of the land is covered with ice that's as much as 3 miles deep in some places. We were dazzled by the fierce beauty, but we were never in danger of anything more than aesthetic overload. We came home with plenty of photos, of course, but the memory of our experiences in this nearly blank slate, largely unspoiled, wholly seductive, is the portrait we'll treasure for a lifetime.
Well, here you are, you're going ashore to see these animals, but when they were on the boat one morning, about 3 o'clock, what happened?
Well, we hear Lisa Kelly's voice, apparently, alerting us to pods of orcas swimming alongside the ship. So she's meaning the big, big cruise ship.
Now, they call them a pod of orcas. A pod, like we say, a group of something, and we can say...
A flock of geese.
A flock of geese. We have different words.
School of fish, right?
Herd of cattle.
A pod of orcas swimming right beside the ship. Wouldn't that be fun to see those big orcas swim? They're beautiful.
They're beautiful. And you know, when you say that, Doris, pod of orcas, maybe our listeners are a little bit more familiar with pod of dolphins.
Mm-hmm, that's true. A lot of them together, a group of them, right? They're swimming right along the ship, and they're probably wondering, what is this thing here, right? I wonder if people are throwing things over for them to eat. Who knows?
I hope not, actually.
Why not?
Because they have to find their own. They're in the wild.
Oh, I know, but it's kind of fun to feed them. But anyway, from the deck, they could see them turning over on their backs and playing, and like they were flirting with us, saying, hey, here we are. You know, isn't that, I wonder what those orcas are thinking. Those big
whales. I'm thinking they're thinking, those people are really annoying. Would they please get away?
No, they're showing off. They're happy to see them. Here's company for us here, yeah. Right. They're really, really great. In fact, you know, these great big whales like this, a lot of places they go, like Australia, the big whales down there, and that's when I've been scuba diving with them. They're so big, they look like a bus. Hmm. I can't believe it.
Yeah.
They're huge. They're beautiful. Yeah. Don't be afraid of them. They're friendly. They won't hurt you. But this is an unspoiled land of wonder. And this is the idea of pristine, isn't it? Pristine. Mm-hmm. Unspoiled. And when your jaws drop, what happens?
I feel like what happens is when you're just in so much awe of what you're looking at that it's surprising and shocking that your mouth unhinges.
Wow.
And you're like, wow.
When your jaws drop. Wow.
Yes. Yeah, I've been on a few trips like that, mm-hmm. and been, like, jaw-dropped.
You know, there are certain expressions. When you say, my jaw's dropped, there's another thing. When you see something, you say, it's mind-shattering. Mm-hmm. These are very expressive English terms that show it's something so fantastic and so unusual.
And unbelievable, right?
Unbelievable. Mm-hmm. We saw these natural wonders of this big, big, vast land. It was full of what?
Icebergs. Glaciers.
Glaciers. What does it say? Calving japers. Now, calving means they keep splitting it up, don't they?
Yeah, it's an interesting word. When I got looking it up, it said they said that it's pronounced calving. Mm-hmm. The process by which an iceberg breaks off from an ice shelf or glacier.
So don't they sometimes say calving too? Because they talk about animals, you know, that deserve.
Well, you know, I think maybe in that regard, but when I looked it up for this, they said calving.
Hmm. Okay, calving.
Yeah.
That sounds British to me.
No, I looked it up in American Heritage.
Oh, okay. Yeah. I give up. But the point is that these glaciers are splitting and cracking, and it's like a big rifle shot because they're breaking in two, and you can hear them crashing into the water.
It's a lot of force.
Don't get too close.
Mm-hmm.
That's the forceful. That's the power.
Don't get too close because you're going to get squirted with that freezing cold water.
Yeah, that's right. Well, that's why they say this is powerful. That's really powerful, the force of nature to crash these big, big icebergs in the water. Wow. So it talks about, it's odd to think about this 5.5 million square miles of this continent. It's really a desert.
It's true.
Yes, it's not like a desert, is it?
It is, because it doesn't really have any precipitation.
So it's like a desert, that's right.
Mm-hmm. It's just very cold.
But it is. They don't get very much rain, because
precipitation,
when it does snow, it stays put. There's the snow. It doesn't move because it's cold.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
So what's the result of that then?
99% of the land is covered with ice. That's as much as 3 miles deep.
In some places, 3 miles deep. Can you imagine going down ice for 3 miles?
That's hard for me to even comprehend.
I wonder what I guess there's nothing can, you know, be in, unless the fish get caught and frozen in there. Who knows?
It's unbelievable.
I mean, 3 miles, all ice deep.
Mm-hmm.
Can you imagine that? Blows your mind, isn't it?
Mm-hmm.
That is really unusual. And usually it's at least, what, 1 kilometer? Say?
Well, yeah, they said it's usually 1.9 kilometers and what it averages, but obviously this is a very...
Mm-hmm. Some places, right.
Some places, and or 1.2 miles of thickness.
Wow. And you see on this boat up here, the humpback whales near one of these zodiacs here, and see the ice over there? It would be pretty exciting to be in that little boat and see that, wouldn't it?
Well, yes, and I think what interests a lot of people is you think about where you see orcas. You
right.
see orcas in so many parts of the Western Hemisphere
right.
of the world.
That's mm-hmm. right.
And here you are way down here at the
under.
Bottom of the earth, way
yeah.
down at the bottom of the earth, and then you go way up, way north of Vancouver Island,
related.
And you'll still see them.
I wonder if they can get around from one place to another or how they do
well,
that.
Well, they do travel in families, and they are
that's
ones
a long
to be
trip,
in pods.
Though.
It's a long trip.
I don't know. We'll have to figure that out. But
it's a long road trip.
They need to put little machines
or a swim trip.
Yes. Yeah. Are we there yet?
But anyway, they are beautiful creatures. They're so huge.
And Lois makes a really good point. Instead of seeing it in an aquarium or zoo, you're seeing
right.
it in their own backyard, their
homes.
And they
can jump up and do all these things.
They're free. Yeah. They're where they're supposed to be at.
Well, they were dazzled by this. So this is some of the words that you can use in English to express extreme feelings, right? They
right.
were dazzled by
dazzled
it.
By the fierce beauty. Instead of being dazzled by maybe some actress's
mm-hmm.
Unique and
somebody
feminine beauty,
the,
now we're yeah. dazzled by a fierce beauty.
We're usually dazzled by the movies and the clothes that people wear, mm-hmm. but now you're dazzled by this beauty. And they were never in danger of anything, except that there was just so much, they could hardly take it in. They called this an aesthetic overload. That's an interesting term. I've never seen it written like that. But what does it mean?
Aesthetics usually mean visual.
Mm-hmm.
And then this is
kind
over
of
here.
Artistic, doesn't it?
Mm-hmm. And over here, it's an overload. There's too much of it. They're almost bombarded by it so much.
Too much. You can hardly take it in.
That's mm-hmm. right.
More than you can.
Well, and we haven't even, in this article, discussed what the sky looks like at night. Can
oh,
you
no.
imagine?
What does it look like?
Exactly.
So they said we've come home with plenty of photos of all these different things, not just the ice, and also the memory of their experiences. In this place, there's supposed to be nothing there, blank slate, unspoiled, but something that beckons you to come. It's seductive. You must come here. So I hope you will be seduced to go there. It's a portrait we'll treasure for a lifetime. And there are cruises there. Could you read about that, Lois?
Sure. There's cruises to Antarctica. The season for trips to Antarctica is usually late October or early November through the first part of March.
So you can still go there now.
Exactly. Make sure your travel provider is a member of the International Association of Antarctica Tour Operators.
There's a website there
right. mm-hmm. which promotes responsible travel to Antarctica. Large cruise ships sometimes include Antarctica on their itineraries, but passengers will get mostly a drive-by view.
So if people just say, go on this cruise, you can go by that.
That's right.
That's not the same
That's
as exploring
right.
it, so don't go on those.
Smaller ships, including luxury vessels, can navigate straits and channels and take passengers ashore in zodiacs and kayaks. On land, passengers can hike, visit penguin colonies, and learn more about other wildlife. This trip was through National Geographic, which operates two ships on Antarctica expeditions. The 148-passenger Explorer offers 14 and 24-day trips to Antarctica.
That's a long time, 14,
yes.
2 weeks, right?
And the 106-passenger Orion offers 24-day trips. Prices begin at, now these are U.S. dollars, folks, $12,970 per person based on double occupancy.
Wow.
And we also have an info website for that,
really
for
long.
The Antarctica
mm-hmm.
cruise. And Polar Cruises also books cruises to the Arctic to learn more about those ones. That's the Arctic in the Northern Hemisphere.
Hmm.
It's www.polarcruises.com.
If you want to go on the polar bear cruise.
Yeah, so you have some chances here, but you have to have what we might say deep pockets. You have to have the money for this.
You know, it's funny what people spend, though, to go on
exactly.
some of these tours, and they go to hotels where they spend $1,000
mm-hmm.
a night or something,
yeah.
you know. But think about it, you know, maybe you could get a job as a cook and
on the ship.
Work on the ship.
Or instead of buying that $35,000 car, buy a $20,000 car and use the rest of the money to go on this cruise.
Well, you know, I hope it's made it a little bit more exciting to think about what's there. Otherwise, we just kind of think, oh, it's a big white place, nothing there. This gives us another view. Don't you feel that gave you a different view of that?
It did.
Yeah, it makes you kind of excited about it, right?
You know, yesterday I was saying that I would not go on this trip.
Right.
But I feel like I'm going to go home and start depositing some money into
That's
that
right.
piggy bank.
That's good.
I
maybe
think it would be
maybe get a bargain price if you get a studio classroom tour. Who knows?
Yeah, or book very last minute. You
Lois,
might be
you can
able
lead
to.
The tour, okay?
Okay,
right.
I'll
All
lead
right.
the tour.
But anyway, it's been interesting, and remember, a few more days less left in this year, so make the most of it. And we're so glad to have you with us. Stay with us for the end of this year and next year. Get ready for new lessons. And thanks for being with us today, everyone. Have a good day.
Happy holidays.
Goodbye.
Goodbye.
Bye.